This is News Radio 105.9 WBBM's All Local. Listen and subscribe for Chicago's most up-to-date news each weekday morning and afternoon. Now from the WBBM Newsroom, these are the most important news stories from the Chicago area.
Our top local story on News Radio WBBM, we begin with the Chicago Board of Education, which is slated to vote on a moratorium on school closures when it meets in 2 hours, as CPS CEO is under pressure from the mayor and the teachers union to resign. More now on our top story from WBBM's Nancy Hardy.
CTU President Stacey Davis-Gates tells CBS News Chicago the union should get credit for improvements born out of smaller class sizes and investments in special education that CEO Martinez is touting.
Those things added up to all of the achievements that he gets to talk about. So that's fine that he gets to celebrate those things, but we would like to share in that celebration.
She warns against the district returning to old tactics to address the budget shortfall.
Cuts, closing schools, consolidating schools are things that we've done in the past that have not worked, by the way.
She says the district doesn't have enough money, even without the new teachers' contract that's under negotiations, and says Martinez must come up with a revenue plan. Nancy Hardy, News Radio 105.9 WBBM.
The president of the Chicago Fraternal Order of Police is weighing in on the end of the use of ShotSpotter technology, saying people are going to die.
John Catanzara posted a video online under the title RIP ShotSpotter. He's very critical of the mayor for his veto and 14 aldermen who voted to get rid of the technology.
These people are clueless. They will literally run this city into the ground. Regardless of a walkie-talkie on a pole nonsense that this clueless, just ignorant mayor and his rhetoric keep spouting.
Catanzara said the mayor and the 14 city council members are championing a cause.
Let's call it what it really is. It's another way to have less people arrested for gun violations and put in jail. Period. Full stop.
He said it's been very well documented that ShotSpotter has saved lives. Mike Krauser, News Radio, 105.9 WBBM.
Rogers Park tenants facing eviction are now asking for more time in a very public way.
The tenants holding a press conference where they say when Bukovic Management Group acquired their small apartment building in the 1500 block of West Jonquil Terrace from the nonprofit Good News Partners earlier this year, they knew the Bukovic plan would be to renovate and maximize the amount of rent that could be charged, forcing the low-income tenants to seek new housing. The tenants formed a union and even brokered a deal that would give them 3 months to stay, a deal that would have them out by the end of September. A few of the tenants have secured new housing, but the tenants' union is now asking landlord Bukovic for one more month free of charge, or $3,000 to help them relocate. Here's tenant Karen Foster.
Bukovic is a multimillionaire developer who has purchased over 2,000 units on the far north side. He says he wants to help the community and not create more homelessness, but every move he makes shows us otherwise.
Brandon Eisen, News Radio 105.9 WBBM.
Former Bulls star, the product of Inglewood and Simeon, Derrick Rose, announced his retirement today after 16 NBA seasons. Childhood friend, teammate, and now head basketball coach at Simeon, Timothy Flowers, says although Rose may not be joining his alma mater as a coach, his mentorship is always nearby.
We had a kid last year who went through a tragic injury. He broke his kneecap prior to the season. And Derrick was kind of there with him through, you know, every step of the way as far as calling him, checking in with him, giving him words of advice, just telling him how to deal with the dark days of being injured. So that's who I expect him to continue to be. But I expect him to take that to another level. Derrick got a story to share. And I think God has now put him in a position where he can share with the world without the game of basketball necessarily as a driving force behind it.
In a social media post, the Bulls said the kid from Inglewood turned into a Chicago legend. No one is in custody after four young men are shot while walking on a sidewalk on the northwest side. CBS News Chicago reporter Mugo Digwe says it happened during a drive-by just outside Fort Knox studios.
The four male victims, ranging in age from 20 to 25, were walking on the sidewalk near Knox Avenue when a dark-colored sedan drove by. People in that car started shooting at the four men. Those men are now being treated at the hospital and are expected to recover from their injuries.
The owner of the studio says it usually closes at 11 p.m. A Chicago woman's trip to Canada to find where her great-great-grandfather was buried led to other discoveries about her family's history. And she's talking exclusively about that journey to WBBM's Jim Goodis. Jim's here at the Anchor Desk with her story.
Judson, Robin Moore is from Chicago South Side.
I happened to be working on my family tree earlier this year. And in working on my family tree, I was following a specific individual, my great-great-grandfather, and I was researching where he was possibly buried.
Moore says she knew her great-great-grandfather had migrated to Ingersoll, Ontario in the 19th century. With help from a historian at Ontario's Western University, Moore discovered her great-great-grandfather was buried in an unmarked grave at a cemetery in Ingersoll. Moore says she also learned that at least seven other members of her family are buried at that cemetery.
Being able to pinpoint these specific people and find out that they're related to you, it's amazing. I mean, it's everything. You know, these are the things that you pass on to your children.
Moore says the discoveries are also of historical significance because that branch of her family arrived in Canada via the Underground Railroad, which helped enslaved African Americans escape to freedom. Moore says she hopes her story will encourage others to learn more about their own family trees. Live at the Anchor Desk, Jim Goodis, News Radio 105.9 WBBM.
Jim, thank you. A lot of Big Ten college graduates joke that they bleed their team's colors. And now the Big Ten Conference is behind a new initiative to encourage students to give blood. WBBM's Annie Dane is live on the news line from Big Ten headquarters in Rosemont.
Yeah, well, Johnson, with the U.S. in the midst of one of the worst blood shortages in a generation, healthcare company Abbott is teaming up with the Big Ten Conference in hopes of changing that through a bit of friendly competition. It's called the We Give Blood Drive and encourages students, faculty, fans, and alumni at Big Ten schools to give blood at drives on campus and other donation centers nationwide. Now, here in Rosemont, the rollout got a bit of a boost from a Michigan alum by the name of Tom Brady.
The important part for all of us is to pay things forward. Giving a little bit can save a lot of lives. It's very important for all of us. So I want to continue to encourage all the young people to make this part of their giving back in school. I'm excited to see all the schools step up, give back to a very big cause that we're all in need of.
And the conference-wide program now underway. The winner will be announced at the Big Ten Football Championship game in December. That school will receive $1 million from Abbott and, of course, bragging rights. Also worth noting that Mr. Brady is putting his money, not surprisingly, on Michigan. Reporting live in Rosemont, Andy Day, News Radio 105.9 WBBM.
Now from the AppleShiva.com sports desk from Hallis Hall, here's 6-7 The Score's Mark Crotty.
What's going on, Justin? Front and center out here today was Bears offensive coordinator Shane Waldron, who was peppered with questions about a below-average offense through three games. And the main thing on everybody's mind was this past week's loss to Indianapolis. There was the fourth and goal late in the second quarter. It was an entirely failed series, which ended in a controversial pitch play to running back DeAndre Swift on fourth down.
I think for us, just being able to communicate, get to the line of scrimmage a little bit faster right there so we can get, you know, what we want out of the play. And so, again, all those things start with me. I got to be better in that situation. I will moving forward. Without getting in all the specifics right there schematically on every single play, just knowing the bottom line there, I got to put us in a better position.
All right, just taking a look now at the freshly sent out injury report by the Bears here. Keenan Allen limited in practice. Roma Dunze, same deal because of his heel. Darnell Wright, the right tackle for the Bears, was not able to go all out today, but was out there practicing, trying to work through a back injury. Braxton Jones, also with a knee issue, he took it easy as well. The guys that did not practice, Andrew Billings, one of the steadiest defensive players for the Bears, did not practice today due to a knee injury. Darrell Taylor, still nursing knee and illness. Others that didn't practice today, Zach Pickens, Terrell Smith, and Kevin Byard. As far as the baseball story is concerned, the White Sox continue to fend off history in the 121st loss. They are still at 120. And how about a 7-run fifth inning for the Sockos today? They lead the Angels 7-0 in the seventh inning at a guaranteed rate field. Cubs are off today, host the Reds tomorrow. Thursday night football is the Cowboys at the Giants. And Steve Stone, not going anywhere. The White Sox today announced a multi-year deal with their ace television analyst. With sports at 16 and 46, I'm 670 The Score's Mark Grody on News Radio 105.9 WBBM.
Well, an Oakland police officer charged with punching a teenager will now face the judge responsible for a major decision related to the 2014 murder of Laquan McDonald.
Officer Patrick O'Donnell is set to face Cook County Judge Domenica Stevenson. In 2019, Stevenson acquitted a group of Chicago police officers accused of lying to protect Jason Van Dyke, the officer who shot 17-year-old Laquan McDonald 16 times. O'Donnell is accused of repeatedly punching a 17-year-old in the head after the teen ran from a traffic stop in July of 2022. O'Donnell faces two counts of aggravated battery and two counts of official misconduct. His trial before Stevenson is expected to start December 19th. Carolina Garibay, News Radio 105.9 WBBM.
All Local is a production of News Radio 105.9 WBBM, Chicago's news, traffic, and weather station. Please like and subscribe to this podcast on the Odyssey app to continue receiving up-to-date news and information.